Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Trishakti Industries Limited Q4 and FY26 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to point out that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company. It may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Rajnish from Confide Leap Partners. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Myself, Rajnish Mishra from Confide Leap Partners. We represent the investor relations and public relations for Trishakti Industries Limited. On behalf of Confide Leap Partners, I warmly welcome you all to Trishakti Industries Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. The company is today represented by Mr. Dhruv Jhunjhunwar, the CEO of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Dhruv for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajnish. So thank you, and good evening, everyone. I am Dhruv Jhunjhunwar, Chief Executive Officer of Trishakti Industries Limited. It is a pleasure to speak with you today as we close out what has unquestionably been the most transformative year in Trishakti's recent history. Before I take you through our numbers, I want to spend a moment on the larger context because understanding where Trishakti sits within India's economic landscape is essential to understanding why this business is built the way it is and why we believe the best is still ahead of us. Over the past 2 years, Trishakti has undergone a complete strategic transformation with new management coming into play. What was once a diversified legacy business is today a focused, pure-play infrastructure equipment rental platform built around owning critical assets and deploying them into long-term execution-linked opportunities. This shift is not incidental. It is directly aligned with what is happening in India today. We are in the middle of a structural multi-decadal infrastructure build-out across roads, railways, renewable energy, urban infrastructure, and industrial capacity. Execution is accelerating at unprecedented scale. At the ground level, all of this requires only one critical enabler, which is heavy machineries. Behind every expressway pier, every refinery column, and every wind turbine tower, there is a crane, and increasingly that crane belongs to Trishakti. Today, we operate a pure rental model, deploying our owned fleet across marquee tier-one clients, including L&T, Reliance, Tata Steel, RVNL, NCC, and many more others. Our performance in FY26 reflects this alignment. Revenue grew approximately 90% year-on-year to 32.44 crores. EBITDA grew over 220% to 20 crores and 21 lakhs, with margins of 62%. PAT stood at 7.66 crores, with margins of 25%. At the same time, we scaled our fleet from just 8 machines in FY24 to over 140 machines today, with near full utilization. I would like to highlight one important point regarding our profitability. Our reported EBITDA includes 4.58 crores of subvention income classified under other income. However, we view this as operating in nature, as it directly reduces our financing cost and is integral to our business model. Even on an adjusted basis, our margins remain structurally strong. Q4 FY26 was our strongest quarter to date, with revenue growing over 3 times year-on-year, giving us a strong exit momentum into FY27. We also significantly outperformed our CapEx guidance of 100 crores in FY26 by deploying 210 crores of fresh CapEx during this year, resulting in a sharp expansion in our asset base and rental run rate. Our unit economics remain robust, with approximately 3% monthly gross yields at low cost of borrowing and targeted ROC of 12% to 22%-25%, which supports our strategy to continue to scale up. Looking ahead, we remain confident in sustaining strong growth driven by continued fleet expansion, strong client relationships, and increasing participation in high-growth sectors such as renewable energy and core infrastructure. Before we move to the Q&A, I would like to thank all our investors, partners, and stakeholders for their continued support. With this, I would now like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-and-answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from the line of Mr. Rohan Mehta from Ficom Family. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Vineet. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible. Hi.
Perfect. Perfect. Great. So thank you for the opportunity. And a couple of questions. So first, on the industry side, I wanted to understand how do you see the overall industry for cranes as well as heavy equipment rental evolving over the next 2-3 years across your key verticals where you operate, such as renewables, metro, rail, steel, and also the industrial CapEx? And are there any verticals currently where you're seeing early signs of either acceleration or slowdown or moderation in order activity? And how is that shaping your fleet procurement decisions going forward?
Yeah. So see, for the next 2-3 years, we are seeing the demand to be really nice. In today's time also, we are continuously, every single day, getting new RFQs for machines from 500 tons up to 7, sorry, from machines up to 50 ton to 750 ton as well. So currently, the CapEx cycle is going really well. For us right now, we just feel that how much more machines we can purchase at what rate is the major thing for us. The demand side is not the issue for us. It's just that the availability of the machines will be an issue for us in future when it comes to more than 500 tons of machine. But honestly speaking, my target for the first 400 crores of CapEx, which we are going to do, which we are doing this, the CapEx journey we are on, we would like to be into the 50-250-ton machine category only because we feel that the more and more demand on an industry basis, not only on certain sector basis, is way easier to keep your fleet utilization above 95% when it comes to 50-250-ton machines. As in, when you keep going above in the tonnage, then obviously, the ticket size goes significantly higher, but the demand is absolutely cyclic in those kind of machines. So this answers your first question. Can you please repeat your second question for me?
Yes. The second question is, any particular signs of slowdown or moderation are you seeing in particular sectors? Is there anything you're observing on that front?
Actually, I personally don't see any kind of slowdown right now because new projects like, for example, let me give an example. In Reliance Industries' last AGM, they had announced that they'll be expanding into Kutch with 5.5 lakh acres expansion into renewable energy. So those projects which have been started last year, all the civil work is already done now. And maximum in the next 2-3 months, the cranes and manned requirements will also start coming. So when these kind of requirements are going to be generated this year, then we don't see any slowdown in demand. Rather, we feel that the demand should skyrocket from here even further.
Got it. Got it. And when it comes to receivable, I just wanted to check with you. For FY26, your receivable days are, I think, above 200 days, if I'm not wrong. And previously, you spoke about that this should get normalized in FY27. So given Q4 has ended, where do you see this number settling in at? And also, given the fact that so also given the fact that you work with blue-chip clients, are you finding it difficult to receive payment on time? And any change does that represent in our billing cycle with tier one clients?
Answering to your question, I feel that currently the fact that we only tend to work with the tier one blue chip clients, that gives us a significant advantage in terms of the receivable days. Because when it comes to companies like Tata, Jindal, Reliance and all, so it becomes very easy for me to get the payments on time. Because all these bigger clients, they follow a very strict path when it comes to payment cycles. The second thing is that when you go for tier 2, tier 3 companies, which are local EPC contractors, then that is the real problem over there. Because over there, your payment cycles will not be below 5 months or so, which we have seen on ground. So that is the only reason why we tend to only work with the tier one blue-chip clients because of this reason. And maybe if sometime, maybe 10-15 days, there is a delay, then when it comes to these kind of clients, we can go to any bank and get the bills discounted as well. So cash flow for us is not an issue when it comes to these clients. Now, if I go and discount some random local subcontractor's bill, then first of all, the bank will not let me discount those bills. So this is also one aspect.
Right. My question was specifically with respect to that, given that you work with tier one clients, so why are we still seeing a receivable day cycle?
Sorry, I missed that. Answering to your first question, the thing is that the only reason why our trade receivable cycle is about 200 days is because there is a very small amount of a family settlement which we had when we were taking over the company in 2023. So that amount is not much. Even in this year's balance sheet, if you see, we have written off 1 crore worth of trade receivables from that was an inter transaction happening between us. That is the only reason why the trade receivables are about 200 days. But when you open the balance sheet properly and then you see the under 6 months trade receivables, very carefully, if you see, then you won't find a big amount or a big trade cycle over there. So if you deep dive just a little bit more, then you'll get a better picture, I feel.
Okay, got it. And
But in FY27, it will be normalized. That I can assure you.
Okay. And any particular deal that you want to guide for FY27?
It will be done during FY27. I cannot exactly tell you a date because this settlement is supposed to be done in FY27. But I can guarantee you that we are trying our best to get it done ASAP. But it's not that big an amount, so yeah. So it's under 60 days. You can, if you see. Yeah.
And just one final question before I get back in the queue. On the unbilled revenue side, so I saw that on a 6-month basis, it jumped from about 2 crores to about 4.5 crores. So I just wanted to understand what is exactly causing this. Any delay in formal invoicing or what is exactly?
That's a really good question. See, first of all, we need to understand one thing very clearly, that from H1, to X2, if you compare our balance sheets, you will see that our fleet size has doubled. Hence, our unbilled amount has also been doubled simultaneously, right? We have got 125 crores worth of machines, inclusive of taxes, in H1, and now it has gone up to 250 odd crores, right? So because of this reason, the unbilled amount has gone up. Now, what happens is that we tend to give results as soon as possible on a quarterly basis. And because of that reason, in the first, it takes us approximately 20 days to submit the bills as well to our clients. Because when you are working with all the blue chip clients or tier one clients, they have a lot of compliances. For example, in JFSL and Jindal Stainless, they have got 7 layers of compliances which we have to follow before we submit the bills. we have to do the overtime calculation, and there are many such compliance issues. So because of that, we take 20 to 22 days in order to submit the bills. So if I'm giving you all the results in the first 3 weeks or in the first 4 weeks, then we have to take out the number from our log sheets, which is on the hourly basis, that how much are we getting paid on this very day. So that becomes really difficult for us, but we still do it, and we have to add it to the unbilled amount so that we can give a clear picture. So whatever the unbilled amount is there, it is actually a calculation of our hourly rates into the hours machines have already worked in those very days. So it will always be there. I cannot tell you that the unbilled amount will just vanish away from the balance sheet. It will be here in H1 also, H2 also, always.
Yeah. Got it. So there is no foreseeable risk of any bad debt write-off. You just wanted to confirm on that.
No. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. I'll get back in the queue for more questions. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from the line of Rishi Maheshwari from AKSA Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks so much. And congratulations, Dhruv, and your team. Good set of numbers. I have two, three questions. One is to understand that you mentioned that peak utilization is at 100%. Dhruv, is this because of considering only one usage in a day, or even double shift? You consider double shift and then reached at 100%?
No. If our machines are, see, whatever the contract is, we ideally sign contracts for single shift only. So our machines are always at 100% utilization only. 100% utilization can be in a single shift also and in a double shift scenario also. So that is not relevant to the use of the machines. If it is a double shift job which we are doing, we'll be paid more. But the utilization will be the same.
So if you use the machine for twice a day, would your effective annual net yield increase merely by using twice a day?
Absolutely. If you're getting paid, more, then it will probably the payback period for the machines will become even faster. But that's a seasonal thing. Generally, in the big, when you're doing jobs which are going to be the contract tenure is going to be 2, 3, 4 years when the giga projects are being made. Then, mostly during the monsoon time, the machines go into single shift, and post monsoon, the machines go into double shift. But this is not a confirmed thing; it's a very variable factor.
Right. Obviously, it depends on the requirement of the client at that point in time. I understand.
Absolutely.
The second part was to understand this the nature of the subvention income. What is this? Can you explain what it is exactly? You mentioned on the slide 17 that this is linked to equipment financing.
Yeah. So I can just tell you for now that it's a quite complicated structure. I can say that it's a financing arrangement between the OEM banks and NBFCs we are working with. If you want more detail about it, we can probably get on a call or I can write an email to you regarding this maybe after the phone call.
I see. Okay. Now I realize. I'll connect with you later on this one. Third question was to understand there's a debtor tax liability that has been created. It's largely created as a difference of the tax taxes that you have to, and because of the depreciation that you use over in accounting books as well as on payment statement. Is that all? Is there anything else to that?
That only, and I'm really feeling happy that somebody has asked me this question. If you technically see the 1.7 crores of deferred tax liability, so see, how is it done? I'll tell you. So in income tax, if we have got hypothetically 20 crores worth of depreciation, right? And in the books, in the P&L, we have got 12 crores worth of depreciation. So whatever my income tax lab is going to be, it will be 20 minus 12. So 8 crores will be the amount, which is a taxable amount. But when it is deferred tax, since in the income tax, we are getting more depreciation, which is going to be carried over to the next year. So on that amount, it's just an accounting entry. If you see, technically, we don't have to pay that tax, but according to company law, we have to mention that in the P&L. Hence, our PBT goes down, our PAT comes down. But this 1.7 crores is not to be paid to the government. That's the whole point.
Got it. I thought so. Just want to clarify. Perfect. Lastly, there is on slide 15, is this the projection that you've given for FY 2027-28, crane hiring revenue growth in rupees lakhs, 62.5 crores, and then 94 crores in FY 2028?
Yeah. Absolutely. This is the.
And in this projection, your assumption is 400 crores of capex deployed by FY 2027. With which you would be at a yield of about 2.2-2.3% net yield. Yield up to 3.2%. Am I right on this?
Yes. Now see, there is a change in this thing. If you go to our Q3 presentation, Q2 presentation, Q1 presentation.
Sorry, Dhruv, can I ask you to come closer to the speaker so that it will become more audible?
Yeah, sorry. Am I audible now? Better?
Yes, better.
So see, over here in this graph, if you actually see properly, FY26 is 33 crores, right? But if you see the previous presentations which we have given since FY25, we have always given that FY26 we would have done a net top line of 20 to 22 crores. Now, since we have already reached FY26 and the numbers have come in, so we have outperformed that by almost 50-60%. So that is the reason why this particular number we have changed and put it as the actual number which we have already achieved. Now, coming to the FY27 numbers, this 62 crores which we are talking about, currently our ARR from the last month is approximately 5 crores. So 5 crores per month billings actually reflect to a 60-62 crores billing for FY27, even if we stop expanding here. So by that, we mean to say that whatever figures we have given in the future forecasting is all the guidance we have given. But till FY27, the 33 crores which we have written is actually the amount which we have already done. So you'll have to actually see the previous quarter's investor presentation to understand this better.
Okay. Got it. Fair enough. Thank you so much. I'll reconnect with you if there's any more questions. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Raghavendra Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible.
Yeah, hi, Dhruv. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So, most of the questions are already answered. So, I just wanted to know more about the 4.58 crores of this. Your subvention income, what is the nature of that and how it is, you mentioned 4.58 crores in the other income, and in the PPT you have mentioned that it is in the nature of your regular revenue from operations. So just if you can clarify on that part, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I can tell you in a summarized way that this is basically an accounting transaction which we do with the OEMs, NBFCs and bankers which we are getting the machines financed from. So over there we do get some kind of benefits in terms of interest rates and all, which the bankers pass it back to us in terms of subvention. So this is the reason why this entry has come on 31st March, because the first three quarters are all unaudited financials. So we have to take some provisions. But in Q4, when we receive all this amount at once, so that sums up completely and is ballooned together. So that is the reason why this amount seems bigger, but this is actually part of our core hiring business itself.
Okay. And So out of that, thank you for answering that. And one more question on the fleet size. So currently you have mentioned that you have around 143 plus fleet size, and what size of fleet you have commissioned in the last 3-4 months, and it is underutilized or not put into the project yet?
Yeah. See, if I be very honest with you all, then since in the last, from H1 to H2, we have bought almost 150 crores worth of machines, which we have almost doubled our capex in from H1 to H2. So that is the reason why the costs and all have suddenly gone up. But of course, when you see our balance sheet, the net asset base has become 290 crores now. So as and when all these machines come out from CWIP, like for example, we have got some machines in CWIP also, around 27 crores worth of machines. So all these machines have just now been installed. So now in the upcoming quarters, you'll see a very different picture altogether when it comes to top line and all, because when we are at a hyper capex expansion plan, then whenever you do capex, then the revenue takes little bit time to come, because there's a lead time of 1-1.5 months. Because we have to do, after purchasing the machine, we have to do a lot of compliances, we have to transport the machine, the TPI happens, then there are many such things. So because of that, there is a general 1-1.5 month delay in the revenue. So whatever capex and all has been done in FY26, the real fruits will be seen in FY27 numbers. Whatever capex we'll be doing this year, will technically you'll have a 12-month run rate in FY28. So you can see the change in our balance sheet which is happening. We have gone from 36 crores of assets to 260 crores of assets. So that's a very big jump. So because of that, the cost and all is very difficult to get the exact numbers right now. But now from Q1 FY27, everything will be streamlined again.
Okay, and last question from my side. So on your order book, so in the recent, you have made a few disclosures. So if you can quantify the amount, what size of order book are you currently at, and how much is executable over the next 6 months to 1 year?
Yeah, our FY27 order book is currently standing at 62 odd crores, and whatever overtime we will be generating will be added to this. Since it's a variable factor, I cannot comment on that. But currently, our order book is 60 crore and above for FY27 financial year.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rob. I'll call back in the queue.
Sure.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, if you have any questions, please press star and one on the telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Ravinder from Dwarakamai Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, the management. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So the first question I have is, hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible.
Hey. Thank you. So the first question I have, I've seen that in this quarter, our margins have been dipped quite significantly from the 60% benchmark that we have set. So do you have any comments on it?
Yeah, actually, we have given guidance and clarification on that the other income is actually part of our core hiring business itself. And to prove that, you can actually just turn the first page and see in the second page that in the segmental revenue, our core hiring business has that income. But according to company law, our auditors have to mention that as other income. So that is why we have done a clarification on that. Yeah. So technically the margin is stable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you quickly explain, to a non-accounting guy, what a subvention income is specific to our line of business?
Yeah. So when you work on a very higher capex model, when you get some benefits from the OEMs and the bankers as well, where the interest payments, where there are some waivers on the interest in, interest you are paying to the banker. So those waivers are actually called subvention. You can Google it out also, it will say the same thing. So in our industry also, like in our PNL also, like this is the perfect explanation of what this is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So does that correlate anything with the increase in payables that we see, like, you know, which currently stands at around 159 crores?
Yeah, so see, when we are going on expanding in a very high spree, then what happens is that, first of all, I would like to say that the demand on ground is too much right now. And in the last two quarters, we have doubled our fleet. So when you are buying 150-200 crores of machines in a few months, then you need support from the banking system, the OEMs also, in order to make sure that those machines can be delivered on site properly, ahead of time, and the operations are smoothly done. Yeah, so that is the reason why this particular figure of 159 crores you can see right now. But eventually, it will be blended to the, just a second, eventually it will be blended to the cash from financing activities. So it's just that we are waiting.
I'm talking from balance sheet, where we have, under the other current liabilities, we have posted 150 crores, right?
Yeah. Please complete your question.
No. Go ahead. I was specific to that.
Yeah. So see, whenever we are going through a very big expansion phase, then this we have to work as a team: the bankers, the OEMs, and us as the contractors as well. So in this case, what happens is that some machines have been delivered on site today. Some will be delivered in a few days. So the funding and all takes a lot of time. So this particular time which is being taken, those machines will stay in our trade payables, but eventually it will come to our asset, it will eventually come to our borrowings, the liability side.
Okay.
It's just a matter of a few
Right quarters. Now, got it. So currently our debt to equity is already, you know, above one, right? Our non-current borrowings at 65 crore. So when this gets translated, so what by FY27, what debt levels can we assume? Because, you know, even that would, if that number would have given, it would have been very good along with our CapEx program and everything.
Yeah, so see, every month of a few, every month this is getting rooted out already. So by FY27, you will see a significant chunk. Right now, it is very difficult for me to give you the exact figures. Maybe after the call, we can discuss properly, where I can actually give you every single exact figure as well. That in FY27,
my intention was on a broad basis, like, you know, it's a 400 crore CapEx program. So
yeah.
Eventually,
in the next 12 to 18 months, this whole thing will move out to the other side of the balance sheet. This I can tell you. Because it's not that we are not going to buy any machines now, right? We are still purchasing machines on a weekly basis. So as and when we keep adding more machines, some amount will go from left to right, then again it will be added to left, and then again it will go to the other side of the balance sheet. So that is the reason it's almost impossible for me to give you the correct definition, the correct answer for it right now. Maybe once we to slow down in terms of the capex we are doing, then I can give you a better understanding. But right now it's next to impossible.
Okay.
Yeah.
But right now we are at 65 crores, am I correct?
Yeah. It will stay like that.
Okay. Okay. What is our average, cost of borrowing?
It's approximately anywhere in the range of 4-6%, depending on, this is the flat rate. So, it's anywhere in the range of 5% plus minus 0.5%.
Got it. So I see that we have a plan of increasing fleet size towards north of 200. Can we map it to a 100 crore deployment?
Absolutely, more than that. Because now, see,
and
we have already expanded into the 100-ton machines. We have bought a good amount of machines. So now we are trying to focus on the 150, 160, 200, 220, and 260-ton machines. So as and when we start going for these machines, like 10 of these machines will cost me a good 40, 50 crores.
Understood.
Yeah.
So my last question is, I see that we have given ROC guidance of 20, north of 20%, right? But also in the same slide, we are stating that our EBITDA, expected EBITDA is 60%, right? On a revenue guidance of 100 crores. So I think both are not in sync, right? If we see a ROC of 22% on a 400 crore asset base, right, it's north of 80 crores. Whereas if you're targeting 60%,
See, now what the thing is that when you actually, it's not that we are going to complete the 400 crores expansion in the month of May, right? So if, for example, we complete the 400 crore plan in the month of May, then you can expect the ROC and all the numbers will change in the guidance. But that's not practical, right? So I already know that when the season comes, H2 comes, we'll be more aggressive that time. So that time you will not get a full blend of the year, right? So that is the reason why our projections are very conservative on the terms of those not being expectations. If I would have completed the full 400 crore capex in this very month, then of course we would have given different guidances. We would have changed everything. The whole PPT would have been changed.
Right. If you may, I have one last question. That's it.
Yeah, sure.
So I've gone through our past the boom cycle of infrastructure from 2000, in the earlier decade, and I've seen the same strategy being taken by different equipment rental companies out there, leveraging high and then increasing all their capex and everything. But I think a significant downturn has occurred after that for nearly more than 6 to 7 years, right? Getting caught up with one industry or one customer concentration. So how do you read that? And what are we trying to do different in the next 3 to 4 years strategically to ensure we sustain longer time frame?
So you're right to a certain point. The whole point of this particular thing is that we want to do something very differently, right? But the point is that our logic is that we only enter those contracts where the contract term is longer in terms of tenure. So if I'm getting a contract for 2 years or 3 years, and I know that my equipment payback period is under 4 years, so that gives me a massive amount of safety, right? And according to our, we have got more than 30 years of experience in this industry. So when we see a site, we can actually understand that what is the kind of requirement the site needs and how long will it actually take. Now, if you see, suppose the piling work has just ended in a site, the civil work is already done. So now I know that if the site is a very big site, for example, Reliance, Tata, L&T and all, wherever they enter, it takes 3 to 4 years for them to build a blast furnace plant or anything like that. So we have to enter in a very sustainable way, and we have to make sure that we enter at the right time. To do capex is not a very difficult thing. You can just buy a machine left at center and keep giving it to different sites. But the actual art is to actually give in those particular moments when the first phase has just started. Now, for example, Reliance is coming up with a 5.5 lakh acre expansion in Kutch. That is going to take 10 to 12 years to be built. So of course, our first target will be to do as much capex over there as possible. So you have to make sure that when you are entering and where you are entering. So this is what we are trying to do different, that we enter those sites in which we can at least give 15-20 machines at the bare minimum. So the site is in our control. This is the kind of practice which we are trying to do.
But will we slow down on the leverage post 2027,
2028? Yeah, I don't see the demand going down. If the demand goes down, then obviously we don't have any option, but we have to slow down. But right now, if we are getting good projects at a good timing, then why not enter it? That's the whole point. For me, I am looking at from that perspective. If I'm getting a good entry point, then why not enter? That's the thing. And we are not working with government bodies also. So government spending is also not very directly linked to us. We are trying to keep most of our exposure in the private sectors only, what the private capex is being done. But I know that the private capex is also in a way related to the government spending. But whatever projects have been started, it cannot be stopped midway because those are all giga projects.
Got it. So if in other way around, like, you know, even if we see FY27 or FY28, which is 62 crores or 100 crores, you know, what would our industry grouping would be for that revenue scale?
We are trying to keep most of our machines into a very good diversified field. Currently, the renewable energy space is growing like anything, and the chemical space is also growing like anything. So we are trying to be as diversified as possible. Probably in a few more months, new metro projects are also coming. So currently, we have got very less exposure in metros. So eventually,
can you add percentages like to, you know, for the FY26?
Out of the whole 250 crore fleet, we have given, just a second, I shall tell you the exact slide number as well. You can see on the 10th slide of our PPT, you will be able to see the exact breakdown of every single aspect, every single industry.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for that.
Yeah,
I think that's it from my side. Thank you. Thanks, Alonzo.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Rahul Singhania, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Dhruv. First of all, congratulations. Yeah, I think the company is at a good juncture at this stage. Current growth yields are roughly 3% monthly. My question is that how sustainable are these yields as the fleet scales and the competition potentially increases over the next couple of years?
See, these rental rates are very much sustainable. I can say that with good confidence. It's just that the 3% mark is mostly for the machines below 100 tons. When you go above 100 tons, then your margin increases and your top line decreases. So this happens only when you go way above 100 ton machines, where the yields are low but the margins are high. So these yields are, when you see the net blended yield, then you will be able to see that it's very much sustainable. Like I can say that.
Understood. And one more general purpose question I had is, in the coming 2-3 years, what do you see the challenges that we can potentially face? And apart from our core business, do you see any scope for diversification into other segments as well?
Yeah. So, see, what we are trying to do is that we want to have a very good very good diversification of our fleet. It's not that we only want to have crawler cranes or truck mounted cranes or only man lifters or only all terrain cranes. So we are trying to make sure that we have got a very good diversification in the fleet size, in the fleet type. So when we have got around 7, 8, or maybe 10 products in our portfolio, then that helps us to make sure that our utilization rate always remains higher than our competitors. So we are focusing on this aspect only. Challenges, I can only say that there can be operational challenges, because at the end of the day, all these are heavy machineries. There are breakdowns, there are downtimes. Currently, we should not face these things, because all our fleets are extremely brand new. All the fleets are less than 2 years old. So that is the reason why I personally feel that for the next 2 to 3 years, we should not have a lot of operational challenges.
Understood. Yeah, that's it from my side. Congratulations and best of luck for the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on the telephone keypad. I repeat, if you have any questions, please press star and one on the telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Rohan Mehta from Ficom Family Office. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the follow-up. So just a couple of bookkeeping questions. I wanted to know what your gross block and net block is as of the closing year.
Yeah. So our gross block for this year is approximately 258 crores. This is inclusive of GST, because GST is a very big amount for us. Approximately 33 crores of our money is stuck in GST right now, which is getting recovered every month. So currently, inclusive of taxes, it is 258 crores. Net block, I'll have to calculate and I'll tell you. I don't have the exact data, but since all our machines are extremely brand new, you can just do a basic 7.5% discounting on that. Yeah.
Got it. And a couple of clarifications. So in your results, what I noticed was that firstly, if you take a look at employee cost, so the employee cost that has jumped quite significantly along with other expenses. This I'm calculating on a quarter-on-quarter basis, because the base is very low on a YOY basis. And even if, let's say, I take the interest subvention income and I add it to revenue, so your EBITDA comes to somewhere around 58%. So generally, 58% was the margin that you did somewhere around September quarter, which is, you know, usually the monsoon quarter where the demand or the workflow is a bit on the weaker side, and Q4 is generally slightly stronger. So I just wanted to understand, is there anything particularly this quarter that impacted the workflow?
See, when it comes to Q2 numbers, then you can check the transcript on that con call also. We had clearly mentioned that we have bought approximately 75-80 crores worth of machines in a very short period of time, and we had to get the labors approximately 20 to 25 days in advance on the sites. Again, the same thing has happened in this quarter also. We have bought approximately, in this quarter itself, we have bought 60 to 65 crores worth of machines. So again, the same thing has happened, that we have to pay for 20-25 days extra labor cost, where we have to station the people before. So as soon as you station the people, for companies like Reliance and Jindal and Tata Steel as well, it takes approximately 3 to 7 days just to generate the gate pass of the operators and the helpers. So that additional 3 to 7 days, I have to pay the employees also, right? Because they have already started working for me. So when we are doing a lot of capex, then these kind of things will keep happening. The exact same thing which has happened in Q2 has again happened in Q4, because we have bought so many machines at once.
Got it.
In Q2 also, if you see, the exact two line items had become significantly higher. So again, like, it's the same thing that again these two line items have become significantly higher.
Right. And on your cost of borrowing, you had mentioned 5% plus and minus 50 basis points. So that is inclusive of interest subvention, right?
No, that is not inclusive of interest. Because if it would have been, then my finance cost would have been like there would not be any finance cost on the P&L, right? If that would have been included.
Okay.
Yeah. We can talk about it post the call because it's a very, it's such a topic where I have to give you the exact percentages, exact numbers, and I'll have to explain it to you in a very deeper way.
Sure. I'll reach out to you. My final question would be, you know, you spoke about the fact that you don't see any particular demand issue. But I just wanted to understand company specific as well as industry wide, any 2 to 3 key risks that you see at this particular stage, which could sort of, slow down the growth momentum.
See, the currently I'm talking about that the only issue which we can face is the operational challenges. But for now, all our contracts have been extended to 31st December. So for the next 8-9 months, we don't have any problem with the order book. But there are many contracts which will be extended. From my experience, I can tell you this, that all these contracts will again be extended for another 12 months. But currently on paper, we just have it till 31st December. So in the short term, we don't have an issue with the demand side and any challenges. The only issue which can happen is operational issues. So this is what I can tell you right now.
Got it.
The demand is going up every day. This I can tell you for sure.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. The last question is coming from the line of Mr. Yash Junjunwala, individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible.
Hi. Firstly, thanks for the opportunity. I actually just wanted to understand, you just explained to the previous participant why your employee cost was higher, but can I know why your other expenses also shot up drastically?
Yeah, so when we purchase machines, so along with the machines, we have to purchase many other things for the machines. Now, for example, a few spare parts and all these things for the machines we had purchased in FY24. So those spare parts and all also, we have to, now the FOCs for those machines are getting over. So because of that, the other expenses have gone up slightly. But eventually, when our top line also goes up in the next quarters, in the upcoming quarters, then you'll be able to see that it blends in then. Because currently, 27, 28 crores worth of machines were into CWIPS, which has now been started. So currently, we are at zero CWIPS. So all these machines also, when start generating revenue, then all these numbers will still be the same, but the top line will go up. So that time you will be able to see that it has been blended in a very nice way.
Okay, got it. Okay, my next question is on the receivables end. Because on paper right now your receivables look pretty high at about 205 days. What are your payment terms with these clients? How soon do they pay?
See, on paper, we have signed the contract with 45 days of payment with everyone. But there are a few clients who pay in 30 days also. There are a few clients who pay in 45 days also. Sometimes when it comes to quarter ending, especially March 31st, everyone wants to carry cash in their book. So that is the reason why they pay after 10-15 days, which is fine. But overall, if you see, our payment cycle currently under 6 months is around 45 days.
So on average, your payment terms are set at 45 days?
Yeah.
And will we see this receivable days come down as you, because right now I think your is there some receivables built in which are not related to the crane rental business?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a family settlement issue which we have. It's not a very big amount. So in FY27, that small amount will also be coming to us. So once that happens, then that trade receivable above 6 months will become zero. So then you will be able to see that, not above 6 months, above 60 days will become zero. So then my whole trade receivable cycle will come down. So it's an internal adjustment which was done during the restructuring of the company, which we cannot help right now. Yeah. But if you want to actually understand our core business's debtor cycle, you have to see under 60 days aging, which will come in the annual.
Got it. Okay, and my last question was actually connected to some previous participant who was trying to understand. Just, I wanted to understand, you were saying that you are comfortable taking on debt as long as there is demand visibility. But is there any internal, benchmark you have in mind where you have capped debt to equity? Currently, your debt to equity is close to 2:1. So is there any internal benchmark that you've kept that, okay, no, regardless of demand for balance sheet health, you will not take on more leverage?
See, balance sheet health, we will always be in this particular range only unless we are expanding. The thing is that all our trade payables, repayments are also quite fast. We pay approximately 2.5% per month back to the bankers. So because our tenure of the, that's per month. So when you see from a month-on-month perspective, every quarter we are approximately paying 7.5% of the loan book. So that's very high because in our industry, this is how it works. People take a 4-year funding, so you ideally pay 2.5% every month. But we have taken many 2 years and 3 years funding as well because our internal approvals are very nice right now. So eventually, when you see, as and when we are going on paying off our loans, we will be adding more.
Mm-hmm.
But this debt to equity of around 1.5, eventually we will blend it out to be 1.5. Because with our current order book, our this year's FY27 projections are very strong. So our debt repayments will also be significantly higher and we expect really good financial stability also in the company. So when you actually see at the end of the year, when we have paid 40-45 crores worth of debt, then approximately we can borrow at least 100 more crores, right? Because the debt repayment is extremely fast.
Got it. So you will try to maintain your debt below 2 times equity.
Yes, you can say it in that aspect. Absolutely.
Got it. Okay. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you so much, sir. In the interest of time, that will be our last question for the day. Now I hand over the floor to the management for closing comments.
I would like to thank everyone for joining our call today. It was really nice chatting with you all, and we will keep doing it quarter on quarter. I really appreciate everyone giving a good 1 hour time to listen to us, to have good conversation. So I would like to thank everyone. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and using Doosaba's conference call services. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant day.